Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 32. Our guest is Mark Anthony Fernandez, co-founder and president of Rare Excellence. Mark Anthony is an entrepreneur with a tenured history in the entertainment business. He helped to co-found Rare Excellence to compete at the highest levels in esports. Rare Excellence was established by forming a team to compete in PUBG and has since grown to sign a roster of pro Apex Legends players soon to compete in Apex Legends Global Series. In this podcast, we talk about how we built our experience in gaming and esports, what it takes to operate an esports org, and how teams can generate revenue. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox. Welcome back to another episode of the Esports Business Network podcast. Today, I'm joined by Mark Anthony Fernandez. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ken, Trent.
Awesome. I've been really looking forward to this podcast. You joined our community and then posted in the introduction channel, and I was just excited to hear about Rare Excellence and everything that's going on in your company. But before we jump into that, I'd like for the listeners to get to know you a little bit better. So let's start off by talking about, where did you grow up and how did you first get introduced to gaming?
So I was actually born and raised in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. So I still live in Canada. I live right now in Calgary, Alberta. And yes, I do speak French still, luckily, because I actually know a lot of people that moved from Montreal to Calgary, and then a lot of them lost their French language. Like they were able to understand us speaking French, but they weren't able to respond back in French. So every time like I meet French members in the city, I always speak to them in French, keep my language going and active. But when it comes to gaming, I actually fell in love hardcore with gaming when I started playing Halo. It wasn't technically my first game, but it's where I started being like super addicted, where I fell in love with the storylines and like where I really wanted to understand more about gaming even further. Because with Halo, like the creators of Halo created an amazing story, and I've always been a fan of Halo, and I am definitely excited to play Halo Infinite. And obviously you could tell own every Halo game out there.
Do you have Halo Reach?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
One of my most favorite moments in my Halo history is playing custom games in Halo 3.
Me too. Yeah.
I was actually the creator of, I don't remember if it was 28 days or 28 weeks later, but I created a sort of like zombie, in the dark game, custom games where it got really viral. So for those Halo people out there that play a lot of custom games, if you heard about 28 days, 20 weeks later, that's me.
You got to give credit. You got to give credit where credit's due. Yeah, man. Yes. And so were you competitive in Halo? Did you play online, or did you play offline tournaments?
I've actually never played in any competitive scene. I never even thought about video games as being competitive until I actually started playing League of Legends in, I think it was 2010 or 2011 when I was still like 16, 17. And then I started watching DLCS, starting off with TSM, which became my first fan favorite. And then when Cloud9 came in, when it came in, they just blew up like crazy in the LCS. And then as of now, Cloud9 and TSM are still my top one favorite.
That's really interesting. I kind of have a different story because, and I talk about it a little bit on this podcast. Mm-hmm. My introduction, of course, I knew about MLG and Call of Duty and Madden, but it never really came to Austin. It didn't come down here. it wasn't until I was in Hawaii that I discovered StarCraft, which I didn't even know like League of Legends was even blowing up. For some reason, it didn't reach it didn't reach out there. It was StarCraft. It was StarCraft and Hearthstone that were blowing up that when I was living in Hawaii, 2012 time frame, similar time frame. And I really missed out on the introduction of League of Legends. That was never part of me growing up. I don't know what happened. I would have loved to have, been part of the rise of Riot, and seen them grow. But I really didn't see that. I didn't see that until 2015 when they were on top. They were just like them and CS:GO on top of competitive esports.
Yeah. It definitely goes with. Okay, let's go ahead.
No, go ahead. Oh, yeah.
You can go ahead. Don't worry.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, for sure. So, thank you.
You so, be my guest.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously, it has to do with the people that you surround yourself with, right?
Yeah.
So, I was introduced to League of Legends from my cousin, who was a lot younger than me, and then he found that game, and he was a very good player back then, because back then, there wasn't, I don't know if you're aware of all of the rankings in League of Legends, but before then, there wasn't Masters, there wasn't that many ranks, and then Diamond back then was probably a lot harder to get, and he was actually a Diamond player, so that's where I started learning about League of Legends, and then, as I'm always curious with the internet, I end up seeing LCS, and then that's where it eventually led me to Twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like wood. Terrible at that game. But yeah, I still have like a good comprehension of it and whatnot, and of watching it, after I discovered it on Twitch as well. But it has a different kind of root, doesn't it? It sort of brewed out of the U.S. market, right? It was League of Legends grew off of the back of like DreamHack, right? Convention spaces. And it's really interesting, the story of Riot, when you look into it. I don't actually talk about that much, but I think its success grew out of the US market, it definitely had a different trajectory versus like South Korea and StarCraft. Because StarCraft growing out of South Korea really it began like serving Blizzard started serving an Eastern audience more than it served the U.S. audience, even though Blizzard is like an American company and whatnot, and has like a good presence in Canada as well, where you're up at. But yeah, talk to me a little bit about like the experience in watching League of Legends, because it was always on Twitch, or was it broadcasted on other platforms before it got to Twitch?
I can't really recall exactly where did I watch it when I started watching the LCS, but with my experience, when I first watched it, it really felt really immersive, especially with the right casters. Like because in other video games or tournaments that I've seen, like I have never seen such enthusiastic broadcasters where they would scream, get out of their chair, show their passion for the game while they're commenting on all the crazy events that would happen during the LCS. So like I really felt really passionate, and I felt really loving with the esports community side of League of Legends. Like I was always excited to watch it, and then not only that, like the production cost of all of their world's tournaments, it's immense. Like they would have big arenas with thousands of people there. And then like, even when COVID hit, it still didn't stop them from hosting their worlds of 2020 in China, if I remember that was correct. Yeah. So even though they didn't have spectators in there, they still had the whole production and the arena still going on. So it shows how much commitment League of Legends and Riot Game have.
Yeah, absolutely. And Did you play any MOBAs prior to getting into League of Legends? Did you play Dota or like the Blizzard version, the custom game on Warcraft 3?
I have actually never played any other MOBA game before League of Legends. League of Legends was my first part. And then eventually when I left League of Legends, I became more busy with work and business as I grew older and older. So then I eventually got more into mobile gaming. And then that's when I learned about Mobile Legends. And then I used to play that for a while, but you know, I tend to shift games, but I've reached the highest rank in Magic Chess, which is the same terminology of the same concept of TFT. So Mobile Legends has the TFT version called Magic Chess, and then I got the highest rank in there.
Wow. Go back to that a little bit. So you got away from gaming a little bit. Did you go to school and also work in business, or talk about that? You mentioned it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So when I mentioned about work and everything, so I went to school for business marketing at a college called State Polytechnic, which stands State stands for Southern Alberta Institution of Technology. And then from then on, I actually got a marketing manager career at our college school, which is pretty intense because I actually didn't go for my bachelor's degree, but a lot of my classmates did. And while they were all like, you know, coming into class, they were just seeing me working at the college campus. So it felt pretty ironic and funny, but through the end of what I learned about college is that it's very important to network with your teachers and with your colleagues all around you, because it was actually because of my teachers that referred me to that position.
Okay. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, the big thing you mentioned there is you're into mobile gaming. Talk about that a little bit, like Magic Chess. I've got some stories about being in mobile gaming. Mobile gaming is a weird place because I've played games where on mobile gaming they thought I was a bot. And I love mobile games, but I hate being banned on them. I do, because the support on mobile gaming's, it's just different than it is for like console or PC gaming games. Mm-hmm. So I've had my ups and downs with mobile gaming, but talk about you getting into mobile gaming.
Well, like the reason why I got more into mobile gaming is because, you know, I'm able to play on the go, you know, because throughout my years in college and like a few years after I finished college, I was one of the side jobs I was working at, I was a promoter for music festival events. So I would sell admission tickets and network for those big events. Like if you ever heard of Tiesto, all those big shots. Yeah, they've performed in those big events. So I would promote those. And I used to be a lot of a party goer. So
Really?
You know, yeah. So I would still, you know, kind of low key pull out my phone and, you know, still play video games. And then surprisingly, like a lot of people I would network with, they love playing video games. So we usually play games that we could play together on the phone.
Yo, that's so interesting. You know, we're kind of just getting to know each other over this podcast, but I was a promoter too down here in Texas. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I have that sort of the same experience. Promoted South by Southwest and ACL and Jambalaya and these music festivals and whatnot down here. I also was a club promoter for a little bit. I also bartended. Oh. So like, you know, bartender, club promoter goes
It was literally the best hustle while I was in school, because like on the weekend, it's just two or three nights, right? Depending on like Sundays are open. But like, you know, you would make so much tip from working behind a bar in nightclubs that like it felt like you were working like half the amount of time of what people would work for when they're while they're in school. Because, you know, people would try to do the 9 to 5 or try to get some 8-hour shift for 40-hour a week while they're in school. But I'm just doing half of that or even less, and I definitely felt like I was getting paid more because those tips. Let me tell you.
Yeah. I didn't really fall in love with bartending. Not that I don't like it. I didn't fall in love with it. I ended up liking bar backing. I like to move kegs and stuff like that. Sometimes it was kind of like, oh, this job is hard, having to move it like a couple flights of stairs. Well,
that, oh, tell me about that.
But just hanging out as a bar back is why I ended up becoming the promoter, because it was like
interesting.
Shows did that. I was just hanging around sometimes, and you know, I wasn't bartending. I was still getting like same tips and everything, because you have to tip out the bar back and whatnot that the bartenders were making. But I saw another avenue where like I could start to do promotions, which kind of is, you know, something that I think in esports they could use a lot. Is like event coordinators and promoters are like the backbone of the music industry, but you don't see it done in the same way in esports. It's done a little differently. It's more like, it's more large, or it's more sports people. Like it's more traditional sports promoters than it is like club promoters in the business, from what I've experienced. Which kind of, their way of like creating a vibe. Like as a club promoter, you kind of create the vibe, because you're always networking with people, and it's not as aggressive as sports is. It's more like, it's very socially interacted, and sports can get real aggressive. It's like high level of competition and scarcity in sports, where that doesn't really exist on the entertainment side of like club promoting and stuff like that. Of course, there's like an exclusivity aspect, but you can still make things feel exclusive, but keeping them inclusive, which is why, like, I think, you know, I want to ask you about Rare Excellence, because it sounds like that's incorporated in a certain way, like this sort of like, this premier experience that you get like being a part of Rare Excellence and being incorporated in the community. So let's jump into that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So let's see what I could start off with. Well, Rare Excellence was founded by three core members back in 2009 when PUBG was very big back then. We had a PUBG pro team competing in a LAN tournament. I don't remember what was the name of the tournament. I'm not sure if it was like DreamHack or something like that, but they compete in a LAN tournament where we've got a fair amount of exposure from that, especially. And then years down the line, the core members all separate and changed into different priorities. And then when 2020 happened with COVID, that's when, you know, a lot of people had to stay at home. And then that's when, you know, I started playing a lot of Apex Legends. So going on from there, I actually met the CEO and founder of Rare Excellence through playing Apex Legends. And then from then on, we got to know each other more. And then I brought up the idea about, hey, why don't we start an esports organization? And then he mentioned about, okay, well, we can either, you know, make a new one from scratch or revamp Rare Excellence. And since he already put a lot of time and effort into that, I'm like, you know what? Why don't we just, you know, revamp Rare Excellence? And then that's where we are with the renewal of Rare Excellence in spring of 2020, and with a new team members. And at the start of 2021, we signed our first pro team, obviously, with Apex Legends. So a good cue in to talk about that. They're actually competing today in about 2 hours, I would say, in about 2 hours, for the ALGS, which stands for Apex Legends Global Series, and it's the Winter Circuit Online Tournament number 2. So if they qualify top 2 in the finals for this tournament, they will qualify for the playoffs, and the top 5 teams in the playoffs will actually qualify in the first ever championship of League of Legends, where there's $1 million prize pool on the line. So this is just very exciting, because this is Apex Legends' second year anniversary, but this is the first time they've announced a championship. So the fact that we are growing and we're growing at the right time, I definitely felt that we have good faith in our pro players in getting to the top.
Gotcha. And did you say that Rare Excellence was founded in 2009 or 2019?
2009.
Okay, gotcha.
Revamped in 2020.
Okay, gotcha. Founded in 2009, and they were playing
PUBG.
They were playing PUBG in 2009?
Yes.
Or was it what was the other game? Garry's Mod or DayZ?
Oh no! They were playing. They were only competing in PUBG.
I didn't know it's been around that long.
Yeah, it's surprisingly been that long. Yeah, surprisingly. Oh, yeah. I believe it came out in like 2007 or 2008, and then that's when it started like going really really big. I even like learned a bit about PUBG by watching Summit1G on Twitch, so that's how I learned a lot about PUBG, but. Yeah, it got really big, and then unfortunately PUBG died out. But if it weren't for that, who knows if I may have met him or not?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that Summit1G played CS:GO and then played PUBG later on. So
yeah.
He played for Splice. I've seen the founder of that company before, but. Yeah, so you guys are in Apex Legends now.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like? Because Apex Legends is a pretty new game. Comes off of the, is created based off of assets from Titanfall, right?
Yes, and, correct.
And so it's been well received on Twitch. I know Shroud kind of made it kind of big and whatnot. Yeah,
he made headlines with his comment. He made headlines with it. There's people would quote it saying that Apex Legends is the best battle royale game ever out there. I obviously personally agree, just because it felt really more immersive. It felt more risky in a sense of coming into battle, and also like. They implemented a lot of new things that you didn't see in battle royales, right? They were the first game to implement a revival system. And then the thing is, when that came up, Fortnite, since they're big and they got a lot of people behind them to back all their finances and everything, they actually adapted to that like a week or 2 weeks later. And then they actually got that idea and added to their own with, I think it was like adding a van where you can like revive people in there.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then the thing is, like, a lot of people thought that Apex Legends was not going to blow up, or it's not going to be popular because, you know how it is with new games. They would pay all the big streamers to play, and then later on they stop playing, which obviously that did happen with Apex. But like as of now, we're getting way more streamers. We're getting way more prize pools in our tournaments. With our average viewers going up now, we're definitely seeing a tremendous amount of growth with Apex Legends, and we are hopefully going to see it competing with the other big leagues like Call of Duty, Warzone, and Fortnite, right? Mm-hmm. So it's starting off with their championship.
Yeah, I mean, EA is no slouch. You know, it's not like they're going to let the game, die out. And even EA is coming back with a lot of their games that are classic games. They're coming back with them. And, there's a tailwind coming toward EA in the games that they've been developing. You know, who knows why? Maybe it's because, they did some social distancing, stay at home or remote development and whatnot, and so now they kind of restructured. But I think EA has been doing a lot of great things, especially around Apex Legends. I mean, Apex Legends, it's not cornered to just on Twitch. I see Apex Legends on YouTube. I see Apex Legends on Facebook. I see Apex Legends literally on all the platforms where, League is kind of on Twitch. Like, it's on YouTube as well, but the large audience of people watching League is on Twitch. Same with CSGO, you know, some of the bigger things, Fortnite, you know. Mm-hmm. Does Rare Excellence work with content creators? Do you have streamers as well, or is it strictly, you know, Apex Legends team?
We do have content creators. We have, mm-hmm. let me get that in mind, I believe 5 active content creators right now. And mm-hmm. Yes, they all are in Apex Legends. We do have one in Call of Duty, mm-hmm. but he's not a streamer. He's more of a YouTuber. So there's okay. that. We are transitioning to also planning on getting a pro team with Call of Duty, and also getting content creators with Call of Duty. So that is our short-term goals out there. So if there's anyone interested in representing Rare Excellence in the Call of Duty section, you could definitely contact us. We're more than happy to hear you guys out.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. And so how many people are on the Rare Excellence team, including content creators?
So do you mean by team as in the,
like under the, how many people represent Rare Excellence?
Okay. So we have 8. We have eight so folks. 3 and pro players and the rest are content creators.
So are those, in the Apex Legends, global series, is that trios or is there other forms?
No worries. So usually how the game works with Apex Legends, it's usually as a trio, you know. I think same thing with Warzone, right? It's always a trio. I think there's probably duos or solos. But Apex does bring those events up, but it's not an official or default number of teams in the game. It's always a pair of 3.
Yeah, yeah, it's trios.
Apex Legends. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know when I first started playing the game, I know it came out as trios, then they had solos later on. Mm-hmm. And I know it's gone through, like, I don't know how many maps they're on. Probably on, what are they on? 4 maps, 5 maps now?
So there's King's Canyon. That's the first map that came out. And then World's Edge. And then Olympus. So those are 3 maps.
Oh, it's on 3.
Hmm. Yeah, but they would... But they would do a lot of like revamping, rework on the same maps.
Yes.
So that's where we're at right now. And then with the season that we're currently at right now, it went back to King's Canyon with a lot of new changes, a lot of new point of interest. What I mean by point of interest is, like, you know, when you look at the map or mini map, there's the name in those areas. So that's what you call point of interest. And there's a lot more because. Which is very great because before, when it comes to the esports competitive side, usually you want to land in a place where, you know, you're not going to do a 50-50 and contest with someone because that's just very risky, right? So now that they have enough for everyone to basically split off, a lot of the people are really enjoying the new map because I feel like everyone's able to, you know, stay alive longer.
Has Apex Legends started to incorporate tournament tools into the game? Because I remember when it first came out in the competitions and whatnot, it was all based off a kill race. And so are now for the pro Apex Legends global series, is that all the pro players are in one game competing against each other?
Yes. The way how it works right now, they're all under the same game, the same room, and it goes by one kill in the same round. One kill calls 1 point, and then there are placement points for 20 to 15, and then 14 to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. With first place, you get 12 points, and then the amount of limit of kill points you can get is unlimited. So if you have the bravery and the skills to kill a lot of people, then that's good for you. But the thing is with Apex Legends, it's very common to get third party because every other team is watching each other. So it's, you know, you always got to be smart on your decision making and being very, very, very quick at executing whatever you're planning, because the way that The way that I see it is that if you aren't going to do it, someone else will.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So again, back to what your role is. So you're the president of Rare Excellence. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what is your responsibilities for Rare Excellence? What do you do for the brand?
So what I do for the brand, I basically work on running the operational side of Rare Excellence, making sure everything runs according and smoothly to all of the plans that we have. I would also network as well with esports individuals, seek out for potential new members that would like to be a part of the team, you know, and also taking part of the executive decisions with the CEO. We do have four executives in the team, which is the marketing lead, the biz operations, me, the president, and then the last but not least, the CEO and founder of Rare Excellence.
Gotcha. And so what does a player, what is their role in the company, and how do they, you know, create revenue, and how do they earn money playing for Rare Excellence?
Mm-hmm. So for the pro players, when they compete in tournaments, that's where, you know, they themselves get a lot of exposure, and if they earn prize pool, the company earns a share of that prize pool. And same as well with sponsorships. If we get any sponsors, we share the profit with the players who are representing those sponsorships. And for the content creator side, the way that they would help us with revenue is basically increasing our community, overall increasing our fan base around Rare Excellence, and as well as, you know, just basically promoting Rare Excellence, because we are also planning on having our first merch drop this spring. So which is coming pretty soon.
Yeah. And for everyone, this is an audio podcast, but if you if you were able to see the video, you'd see, you know, he's rocking a Rare Excellence shirt, and it looks pretty fresh. It looks like it's soft. It definitely looks like it's a soft material.
Yes.
Nice shirt. If I was looking for a Rare Excellence shirt, which I hope I get one now that I look at it in the mail.
No, you think about it.
it looks like a quality material, and I would get one, especially if you want to be join a community. So talk about community. What does Rare Excellence do for your fans?
So we want to represent Rare Excellence as, you know, as being disciplined, as being inclusive to every gamers. And we definitely wanted to stick out a lot more than other organizations, even though, for what I'm about to say, some organizations are actually working into this. We want to really focus about health. So we know that, you know, gamers tend to focus a lot sitting on their chair, playing for hours and hours in front of the computer, not realizing how much health just doing that is harming us in the long run. So, you know, and especially when it comes to the pro players, we know how much stress there is. We know how much like mental focus and fortitude you have to keep up with when you're especially on the stage in front of thousands of people watching you. You know what I mean? Because like the stereotype about pro gamers is that, you know, we're introverts, we're not really like that very social. We're just very, very good at the game. So, you know, we definitely wanted to make sure that when we support our players and our content creators, and making in the sense that they are healthy both mentally and physically. We actually have a mental training coach that is supporting our pro players to help them with their mental fortitude and focus when they compete in Apex Legends.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Who are you working with? If you want to give him a shout out.
For sure. So his name is Anthony, and he actually lives in Europe. He's in his last year of university for his sports. I think it was sports psychology.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, and he's really into esports as well. So I actually met very him cool. through simply me networking on LinkedIn. So that's what I'm very, very thankful about, always networking. And that's what I do every single day, because you never know who might be a potential key component for your team, or who may be a great opportunity for you or your endeavors if you don't network up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And since you're the president of Rare Excellence, how are you presenting yourself to, or should not just yourself, but Rare Excellence as a brand, to potential partners, potential sponsors, and what are some of your goals to accomplish this year? I know you're on a road to, you know, potentially winning a large Apex Legends tournament. You're in the mix. How are you marketing yourself to sponsors? How are you marketing yourselves to potential partners? And what is the monetization? How are you generating revenue for Rare Excellence?
Mm. So for the starting point, we are at a limited capital for Rare Excellence. So one of our current goal right now is to seek out for potential investors that would like to be with us in the long-term goal into, you know, seeing the growth and the potential of Rare Excellence. When it comes to how we would make revenue, we would of course make revenues from a lot from future sponsors, from merchandise, from winning prize pools, as well as, you know, from publishers as well. So basically all of the main aspects that you would hear about, all of the esports market streams, it basically applies to our esports organization as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so for your Apex team, have they competed in offline events?
Well, since COVID happened, our pro team are actually new as well. And I'll actually name them out right here. We have his Watson, we have Blur Flavors, and Keon. So those are our three pickups for Apex Legends. Those three known each other for a very long time, even before Apex Legends came out. I don't remember what was the game exactly, but they've met each other from that game, and then they got really close and grew a bond where they start trusting each other, and that's where they became a team.
Yeah.
And then we've been seeking out pro players in the ALGS, and then we believe that they are an ideal fit for us with their commitment and capabilities with representing our values, and also, you know, just being the best out there in Apex Legends.
Yeah. And so are you already working with a sponsor for the team?
Unfortunately, we are not working with any sponsors right now.
Okay.
But we are more than happy to be heard by sponsors. So if there's any sponsors out there, Rare Excellence is definitely looking out for that. But yes, we are on the lookout for sponsors. You're having some plans as well with how we would reach out to those sponsors, but that's just in the work right now.
Yeah. And so are they creating content on the side? Are they also streamers as well?
Yes. So obviously the thing with pro players, right? Like usually you want to stream, because the thing is, like, if you're a pro player and you don't stream, you're basically losing potential revenue. Because as a pro player, you, like, during your journey as a pro player, you are creating a fan base. You're creating people that loves you. And, you know, people would love to watch you play the game that they're a fan of. So, yes, our pro players are streamers, except for his Watson. He is planning on streaming, I believe it's near the end of this year or next year. But it should be hopefully be short. We're helping him set up with his old streaming gear. So,
yeah, streaming is very difficult. It's a very time intensive job and thing to do. equal to being a musician, equal to being a, you know, a professional wrestler, football player, whatever it may be, a comedian, like it's all the same, in the entertainment business. And so for those actual dedicated content creators, the other five of them, are they working with any sponsors let me answer this question a different way, because is Rare Excellence bringing them sponsors or are they searching their own sponsors?
So it goes both ways. So if we find sponsors for them, then that's fine. But if they find sponsors for them, for themselves, that's perfectly fine. As of now, the current content creators we have, they are free to seek out for sponsors. I know that there are certain rules and regulations where it limits content creators from seeking out like kinds of like specific kinds of sponsorship. But as of now, our content creators have the freedom to seek out for any sponsors that they'd like to get.
Yeah. And are your content creators partners on Twitch or what platforms are they streaming on?
So all of them are on Twitch. One is doing YouTube, but he doesn't do, the one on YouTube does not do live stream. He just posts content on YouTube. And so for our streamers, they're not partnered yet, but we are definitely seeing a growth with one of our content creators, and then I'll call him out, Unlucky Ducky. Yeah, Unlucky Ducky, hearing this. But yeah, Unlucky Ducky has been growing tremendously. He's been playing with very big streamers that have, you know, over average 300 plus average viewers. He's been networking with other content creators. So we're definitely seeing high hopes for him.
Awesome. And so are they all on affiliate?
Yes, they're all affiliate.
Okay. They're all affiliates too. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to sponsors, partners, and investors, what are you looking to accomplish? Do you have some goals set out for this year? Like, do you want to raise a certain amount of capital? Are you trying to, you know, get certain types of sponsors in it or, is there any goals in that regard?
So yes, we are seeking for capital. We've had a list of how much capital we're looking for. It's obviously depending on how much capital we get, we will work around with it. But most of that capital would be spent on future pro teams. It will be it'll be mostly spent more towards the marketing aspect and as well the esports aspect of Rare Excellence. That would be where our most capital would be funded towards.
Okay. Yeah.
And then what was the other question you had about again? Sorry?
I forgot myself. I was in the middle there. I was like, I forgot the other thing. But I'm guessing it had to do with advertisers. And so are you... I mean, that's sort of the same thing. Sponsors, investors.
Yes. So the kind of sponsors that we're obviously looking for, we are actively searching more towards health advocates. So, you know, we're looking into like, you know, potential like Cliff Bars, those Cliff Bars, Healthy Bars, you know, the actual health. So like, you know, maybe for fitness apps or
yes, that's smart. Yeah.
Because really like we know as of now, or maybe it's not even that popular out there, that esports right now is partnering with very strong health advocacies. So, you know, we definitely wanted to be the one out there to be different, you know, and especially with recently we've seen a lot of partnerships with a lot of entertainment companies, a lot of even like, you know, automobile companies, you know what I mean? Like for example, Team Liquid and Naruto. I love anime. So I was super surprised and shocked to see that, you know? And so that just shows that a lot of companies, a lot of people out there are really seeing the growth of esports.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's been really great to get to know what you're doing with Rare Excellence. And I hope that the listeners are able to connect with you and potentially, you know, do business with you as well. But so in order to give the listeners and the audience a way to connect with you, how can they find you online, offline, wherever you'd like to promote? This is your opportunity to promote what you've got going on.
For sure. So you could definitely learn more about us at rareexcellence.gg, our official website. To get in touch with me, you can reach out to my business email. It's pretty long, but we created this forum where we all do it, but it's mark-anthony.fernandez@rareexcellence.gg. I'll just spell it out just so it's easier for everyone. mark-anthony.fernandez. And as well, I'm more than happy to even be connected on LinkedIn. I would say that I'm probably really, really active on LinkedIn. So you can definitely find me there on LinkedIn, Mark Anthony Fernandez. And yeah, you're more than also to check out our social medias on Twitter and Instagram at Rare Excellence.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Mark Anthony Fernandez on the Esports Business Network podcast. Catch you guys on the next one. Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our Bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the Bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.